The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
As what usually happens with all good things, they can go bad. And this is what we're finding happening at the time of Jesus. It started out good, but these laws, these fences, these what were called oral laws, kept people from sinning against the law, but it got a little ridiculous. You guys heard of blue laws? You know, the blue laws that kind of are in some states that kind of don't make sense anymore, that are kind of ridiculous. Well, that's what these were. They're blue laws. For example, in an effort to keep the Sabbath holy, there was things you could not do. A person, if they did it, they broke the law. You could not look in a mirror on the Sabbath. Because if you saw a gray hair, you might pull it out. And if you pull it out, you're working. Okay, that's one. Another one. You could not wear your false teeth on the Sabbath. Because if they fall out, because they didn't have stuff to keep them in back then. If they fell out and you reached down to pick them up, you were working. So in other words, you looked a mess and you had no teeth in on Sunday, on the Sabbath. There was one time that the rabbis, they were debating about a man who had a wooden leg. And they said, if this man's house catches on fire and he leaves and he carries his leg with him and it's on the Sabbath, he's working because he's carrying his leg outside his house as his house is burning down. I like this one. You cannot spit on the Sabbath. Because if you spit in the dirt, and then you take your shoe or your sandal and you rub it in, you're cultivating. You are now a farmer. These are actual rules or laws that are in the Talmud to keep the people from sinning. Now, those are just a few of them. There are a lot of things that they wanted to keep people from doing. It pertained to more than just these items. And one of the biggest one was cleanliness. Right? Cleanliness is next to godliness, right? It's not in the Bible, by the way. It's not in the Bible at all. Maybe in the book of Zacchaeus. I don't know. No, it's not in the Bible. But the Mishnah, which is the compilation of all these oral laws, was written in the second century. And it dedicated 286 pages to cleanliness. Now, the Talmud was written, and those were oral traditions that were written down. The Mishnah was written in the second century, but these same things were going on at the time of Christ. They had such a fatuation, the rabbis did, with cleaning their hands. Their hands had to be clean. And it comes from Exodus 30:19 and 40:12, because it was told the priests, before they handled the sacrifice, must wash their hands. Right? Now, priests are holy, right? If it's good enough for the priest, if I want to be holy, shouldn't I be doing the same thing that the priests are doing? That's what the people started thinking. So the scribes and the rabbis and the Pharisees, they started to give these oral laws. They started to do these oral laws. And the pious Jews started to think, well, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for us. By the time Jesus hits the scene about 200 years later, that had been so deeply ingrained into the culture and into the psyche of the people that the Pharisees decide they're going to trap Jesus in it. And that's where we find ourselves today. If you have your Bibles open to Mark 7, we are going to start with verse 1, and we're going to go through verse 23. And I'm going to ask that you stand as we read God's word in honor of it, if you can. If you can't, that's fine. It says, now, when the Pharisees gathered to him, And some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. And Mark goes to explain, for the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? And he said to them, Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God, and you hold to the tradition of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father and his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is given to God, you are no longer permitting him to do anything for his father and mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down and many such things you do. He goes on, he says, and he called the people to him again and said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand there is nothing outside the body that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of the person are what defile him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it and believe. Father, we praise you because you are a gracious God. Lord, we don't always understand your word, but we ask today that you open our hearts and our minds and our spirits to the work of the Holy Spirit as he shows us the truth. We pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Those wanting to be truly clean, according to the oral traditions, they were washing all the time. I mean, what they would do is they would take water and they would pour a little water on their hands and then they'd make sure that it would drip to here. And then they'd pour their hands and they'd make sure it would drip to their wrist. And then they would pour and they would go into a basin and they would wash their hands. I mean, that was just before eating. That's what they would do. I mean, and then they would go to the marketplace, and when they would come back, you know, they'd go through a whole process of washing. Now, if my kids were staying here, they would think, Mom's a Pharisee. She's not in here. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. My wife is very, very concerned about germs that come in from the outside, as she should be. We all should be. You know, my kids are sick. I don't want them touching everything, you know. Don't, you know, my kids like to hover like vultures sometimes over me, and I'm like, don't breathe on my food. Because they have germs right now. They're both, you know, they're not contagious anymore, but they were kind of sick there for a while. There's nothing wrong with having clean hands. There's nothing wrong with it. Today especially, when germs are all around us, you know. I mean, it's just common sense. But what was occurring during the time of Christ and before this was insane. It was almost impossible to be clean enough to actually follow the rules. You couldn't. You'd spend all your time cleaning. Not just you, you'd be cleaning your house, your couches, you'd be cleaning your pots and pans. And it wasn't just, hey, here we have this kosher dishwasher that's going to wash them just the right way. No, if it was this kind of pot, you had to wash it that way. If it was this kind of bowl, you had to wash it this way. If it held this, you had to wash it this way. So you had to go through all these crazy things to do this. It needed to be clean. There was a rabbi one day who was eating. And when they caught him, he was eating bread with unwashed hands. And what did they do? They excommunicated him. What does that mean? That means he could no longer, a rabbi could no longer go into the synagogue or the temple. Because he ate bread before he washed his hands. That's how bad it had become. Their obsession with ritual purity made them extremely pious. Oh, well, you know, I'm clean, you're unclean, right? It made them pious. It made them self-righteous, goody-goody. Basically, it made them obnoxious because they were better than everybody else because they were clean. So don't touch me because you touch me, I'm going to have to go back and go through this all over again. They detach themselves from the people. And what they see Jesus' disciples coming in and they see them eating with dirty hands and they see it as a possibility. This is it, we got him now. And they, number one, they can't control themselves. I mean, this is not the first time they've encountered Jesus. This is not the first time they've had anything to say against him. You would think they would have learned by now, don't antagonize him. Because he always comes back with an answer we can't answer, or a question we can't answer. And an answer we don't understand, but they can't control themselves, and they ask, why does his disciples do that? Why do they don't follow the tradition of the elders by eating with unclean hands? What I think is happening is these Pharisees are spiritual hitmen who've come down from Jerusalem to trap Jesus again. They're still trying to trap him, and they see this opportunity, but they get much more than they expected. What Jesus does first is he goes back to Isaiah, and he says that the prophet of Isaiah has truly spoken about you, and this really gets their dander up, because Jesus has told them, because of their legalism, they're, which are nothing more than rules taught by men, they believe that their rules are the ultimate, that their rules are more important than anything else. The oral laws were equally as binding as the Pentateuch to them. In fact, there are some of them who believe that the oral laws are above the Word of God. That the oral laws go over the Pentateuch. To this day, there are times when there are rules, and I've done some research on this. There are rules that the rabbis and the leaders could come up with that completely go against Scripture, go against God's Word. But because they did it a certain way, they came up with it a certain way, they say they are speaking for God. In fact, it's interesting, there came a time when they finally said, we no longer listen to voices from heaven. You know, you think of the two times, twice, you know, when Jesus was being baptized and a voice from heaven comes down and says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. They hear voices from heaven. They hear it. They see it. They know what's going on. So what do? They come up with a law that says, well, we don't listen to those anymore. They're laws. They are hypocrites. They are play actors. They look like they're honoring God with their hearts, but at the core of their life, they are so far from God, they're not honoring him. They're honoring themselves. They're a bunch of phonies. Everybody looks at them as the spiritual athletes, you know. These are the Pharisees. These are the big guys. And Jesus says, you're nothing. You're phonies. And then he throws down another gauntlet when he accuses them of using legalities to sidestep the very law of God. They use the law to sidestep the law. So they try to find some ways to get around the law. Boy, I'm glad nobody today does that. Stay out of New York, believe me. In New York, it's that way. They use the law to sidestep the law. Because Jesus gives an example. The fifth commandment says to honor your father and mother. What that usually meant was not just honor them. It's not, you know, we look at it as, oh, I need to honor my father. So I need to be nice to mom and dad, right? And you should be nice to mom and dad, right? You should love them. No matter how crazy you think they are. It's okay, I'm not talking about you guys. How crazy you think your parents are, you need to honor them. But it goes further than that. For the Jews, it means that you need to take care of them in their old age, which I think is something else we need to do today. But for them, it was you need to also take them in and take care of them. And what Jesus is saying is, you guys have sidestepped the law because now you say that I can go, the person can go and say, everything I have is Corbin, which means everything I have has been now dedicated to God. Well, if something's been dedicated to God, you can't give it away. I can't give it to anybody else. So now I cannot use my money and my resources to take care of my parents. And Jesus says, you're using a law to sidestep the very word of God. How dare you? The very ones who justify themselves by the law are performing legal sidesteps in order to escape the authority of the law. Again, sounds like everybody, almost everybody within the Beltway, except for a few. There are still some good guys there and ladies there. And just when the Pharisees can handle no more, Jesus takes it one level further. And what he does is he calls the crowd to him. You know, up until this point in time, the conversation that he was having with them was private. It was not with the people. The fair disciples were probably there, but it wasn't with the whole crowd. Well, now he says, hey, everybody, come here. He brings in the crowd. And he takes it up a notch. He says, come closer. And he tells them something that's extremely radical in the mind of an Israelite. It is not what goes into a person that makes them unclean, but what comes out of them. This is pretty radical teaching. Because up until this point in time, they had always been taught, you don't touch dead bodies, you don't touch this animal, you're not going to eat that animal, because that animal is an unclean animal. And if you do this, you're going to have to go through all the ritual process of going into the wash, into being fully washed, and to go up into the temple. You know, you can't, you do, you're going to defile that bowl, you got to throw it away, and you don't eat these unclean things. And Jesus says, no, you don't get it. It's not what goes in that matters, but what comes out. And why does he say that is? He says it's because when you and I, when we eat, it goes into our stomach and then out. That's all I'm going to say about that. It doesn't go to our heart. And it's from the heart that all these things, good or bad, come out. You have a problem getting angry? You better look at your heart. I'm looking in a mirror here. You have a problem with what you say? You're swearing? You better look at your heart. You have a heart problem. It has nothing to do with whether or not you ate mac and cheese or whether you what animal you ate. Though we could blame a lot of it on turkey, I guess. But that doesn't matter. What matters is what you say. And what comes out of your mouth. I'm trying to get my kids to understand that. Don't say that. So wham. Smack right between the eyes. He hits the Pharisees. And this is probably the most revolutionary passage in the New Testament. Because it frees us from the bondage of legalism. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. All right. Now, that doesn't mean we've got free willy here. We can go wherever and do whatever we want. There are things you do that do make you unclean, that cause sin to happen. But it's not what you take in. It's not what you eat or drink. It's what comes out of your heart. This is so incredible because think about this. This is the very thing that Peter had to deal with. When he was going and he was on top of the house and he's dreaming, and God rolls out a cloth and he puts all these unclean animals, and God tells him, "Peter, get up and kill this animal and eat it." And he says, "Oh, no, Lord. I have never eaten anything unclean." And God says, "How dare you say what I have made clean unclean? How dare you?" Peter, who heard the very words of God right here, very words of Christ as he was going through this, didn't get it. And in fact, a lot of them didn't get it. All of them probably didn't get it. Because what happens is, they come back. It's so hard to grasp for the Hebrews that when Jesus is alone with his disciples, they ask him to explain the parable. Now, I looked at it. I read it like 2 or 3 more times. There's no parable here. Jesus says, what goes into you does not make you unclean. What comes out of you makes you unclean. That's not a parable. That's a statement. That's a statement of fact. And here the disciples are saying, well, explain that parable. It's not a story. And he says to them, are you that dense? Are you so clueless that you don't get it? Yeah, I think they are. We got it. And again, I always give the disciples a little bit of grace because they didn't have the Holy Spirit at that point inside them. Which means if I do that, we have the Holy Spirit inside us. I'm sure sometimes we're pretty dense too. We don't get it. And Jesus goes on to list the things that come out of man that make him impure. First one is sexual immorality. Porneia. Sounds like pornography. Yes, it is. Pornography makes you sexually immoral. It corrupts you. It destroys you. That was the first one, sexual immorality. Then there is theft, kleptai, kleptomania. That's where that word comes from. It means to steal, to take what's not yours. Murder, I'm going to screw these all up, I'm sure. Moikai, okay? Greed, I'm not even going to do that one. Because I don't want to try to pronounce it. What that means is it's an appetite for something that doesn't belong to you. And now that's interesting because when I think of greed, I don't think of it belonging to somebody else. I think, oh, I want more of it. I want more, more, more. More money, more food, more toys. No, it goes beyond that. It means taking something, wanting something that is not yours. Then there's malice, which is very close to porneia, but it's interesting. It's a heart that is completely equipped to inflict evil on any man. Malice is, I am so corrupt inside that I can hurt anybody, and it really doesn't bother me. Malice. And he says deceit, dolos, to bait, to deceive people. It's not just to be deceitful. It's actually to bait them. It's you're planning it. Lewdness. This is plunging into moral debauchery and open defiance to public opinion. That's what the Greek word means. Aselgia. It's no matter what the public says, I'm going to do whatever I want. As immoral as our country has become and our world has become, there are still people who are practicing lewdness. What I mean by that, there are people who are doing things in public they shouldn't be doing. They're getting caught sometimes. Unfortunately, they're also recording it on their phone and posting it on Facebook. I almost think that I've watched some of the videos where people do stupid things, you know, that are we wouldn't consider lewd, but I think it's kind of the same thing. Who in their right mind would take a skateboard on top of a two-story house and roll off the end of it? I mean, that's just stupidity. But it's that same idea here, plunging into moral debauchery and open defiance of public opinion. And then there's slander, blasphemia, which blaspheme comes from. It's a self-praising person who has contempt for everyone else. It's putting yourself before anybody else. I'm better than everybody else. Well, this is the Pharisees. Which makes me think of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means putting me before the Holy Spirit. Putting me before God. The last one is arrogance. Spiritually and morally desensitized. I had to think about that one. Because, you know, when I think of somebody who's arrogant, I think they're haughty. I think they, you know, they think much more highly of themselves than they should. They're arrogant. But that's not necessarily what this means. In Greek, it means spiritually and morally desensitized. It means they have no sensitivity to spiritual or moral things. What a bunch of dark, nasty words. And where do they come from? The human heart. That's where they come from. We wonder why this world is where it is. It's because of that. Because of the human heart. We have we have a heart problem. We have a real heart problem in our world today. I think we have a real heart problem in our churches today. Our churches today have heart problems. The problem is not the uncleanliness of the world, but it's the uncleanliness of the inner life, the heart of man, the heart of the world. That is the problem. Jeremiah 27:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" I can't. I have one, and I can't understand my own heart at times. You know, why? Why do I continually do this? I don't know. Except that I've got a human heart that is struggling to understand. And thank goodness I have a Savior who is gracious and patient with me. Because if he wasn't, man, I'd have this like big lump on the back of my head where he kept flicking me when I'm doing something I'm not supposed to do. Oh, and yeah, I mean, the heart is deceitful. And Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, no, none is righteous. No, not one. I don't care how good you think you are. Sorry, you're not righteous enough. You're not righteous. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's why we're not righteous. The Pharisees' problem was that they had the word of God. They had exactly what we have. They had the word of God, but they also had this defective theology of man and sin. They believed that they could work hard enough and do enough good things where they could be righteous, where they could stand before God and be okay. The problem is that their legalism was an attempt to treat the symptom, and they never dealt with the root cause. And I got a question I had to ask myself, man, are we any different? Are we really any different? We run the risk today of being too much like the Pharisees. We look at the outward actions and we think we're saved when our hearts are far from God. We can sit in church and say, yep, I was at church this week. I prayed. I'm good. You know, I've got it. I'm good. And we're not. Our hearts are far from God because these things are coming up out of us that shouldn't be coming out of us. Education and culture cannot fix the root of the problem. I don't care how much you know of the Bible, how many verses you know. You could have the total Bible memorized, but if it doesn't change your heart, it doesn't matter. You can know all about church history. You can know all about things, but if it doesn't change your heart, it doesn't matter. It's just words. Education can't solve the problem. Culture can't solve the problem. Social reform won't do it. Washington can't do it. Revolution and the New World Order will definitely not do it. Knowing Hebrew, Latin, Greek, not going to do it for you either. See, what we need, what the cure is that we need a radical change. You and I need a radical change in our hearts. What we need is regeneration. We need regeneration. And there's no power on earth that comes from man that can make a bad heart good. I may be wrong on this. I'm just guessing here because I haven't done the research. This just came to me. I gotta wonder, if you got a bad heart, you know, let's say your heart is just dying, I don't think they can fix it. Short of put new valves in, you know, my brother has a pig valve for one of his valves that was bad. But if your heart is really bad, the only choice is to what? What do they do? Transplant. They give you a new heart. Create in me a clean heart, right? They give you a new heart. That has to be, and that's what God's talking about, what Jesus is talking about. You must have a new heart. And the only way that happens is with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only it can do that. What did Jesus say? He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We need regeneration. We need a changed person. And believe me, it doesn't happen overnight. And it's not easy. It means that old, you know, because the old person doesn't want to die. They want to keep fighting. But the new one has to win out. There has to be a radical new birth. We need a new heart. We need a new heart. We need resurrection. We're dead in our sins. We're walking. We are the walking dead. Believe me. When we are in our sins, we're the walking dead. And we need to be regenerated. We need resurrected. And we need repentance. And this is what Jesus offers. He offers a new birth, a new heart, new creation. He offers a resurrection. And apart from Christ, the world is lost. It can only be redeemed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, that makes our hearts new, that makes us regenerated, rejuvenated, gives us a new heart. And we know, Lord, it's not easy. We know it's going to be a struggle because our old nature does not want to die. Help us put it to death, Father. Help us see it's not what goes into our body that makes us unclean, but what comes out. But Lord, that doesn't mean we can just do anything and put it into our body. It means we must follow you and do your will. Help us to do that, Father, as we go about our days here. Help us to reach out to those around us as they see us with a changed life and a changed heart. And they know that their heart is dying. May they ask us and put us in situations, Father, where we can tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.